Take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter number 5. Let's look at verse 11, please. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. As we think about eternal life, I'm reminded of the fact that everything that surrounds us is temporal. It's not going to last. Nothing lasts. Have you noticed that? Clothes wear out. Cars wear out. Toys wear out. Computers wear out. Even our physical bodies are one day going to wear out. Amen? Most Christmas presents, where are they going to end up eventually? Garage sale? The Salvation Army? The city dump? You know what garage sales are, don't you? Garage sales are old junk that we want to get rid of that was once new stuff that we had to have. But now we need to get rid of it so we can make room for new stuff that one day will also be old junk. Right? Well, we love garage sales in Florida, though, don't we? Amen. In a world where nothing lasts, in a world where everything changes, it's great to know that there are a few eternal things that never change. The Bible says God is eternal. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is eternal. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:14 that God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit, He's called the Eternal Spirit in Hebrews 9:14. I'll tell you something else that's eternal, the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." So the Bible is eternal. And praise the Lord that the eternal God has made a promise in His eternal Word. And it's the promise of eternal life. And that's the subject here in our text. Everybody get a Bible? We're still carrying Bibles around, man. I'm all the way through my introduction. We're still passing out Bibles. Thanks, Brother Jim. Thanks, guys. Don't you appreciate our ushers? They do a great job. May I tell you, servants. They are servants. Amen. All right, anybody else need a Bible before we get too far into this? All right. 1 John chapter 5 is where we are. This text, verses 11, 12, and 13, deal with the subject of eternal life. And John, who wrote this, is going to reveal to us several things about this wonderful gift called eternal life. Number one in your handout is this: eternal life is a reality. Eternal life is a reality. I want you to go to 1 John 5:11, and I want you to notice the first phrase. In fact, say it with me, the first phrase up to the comma. Everybody say it with me. You ready? "And this is the record." Now, that word "record" means evidence. It means a witness. It means a testimony. In other words, here's what it means. When it says, "This is the record," what that's saying is that when it comes to the matter of eternal life, God has gone on record and God has promised it. I want you to get that statement in your handout. When it comes to the matter of eternal life, God has gone on record and God has promised it. Listen, folks, God did not just give us a verbal promise about eternal life. God went as far as to put it down in writing. In writing. He went on record. He went on testimony. I mean, this is a witness. This is a written witness, testimony, record, whatever you want to call it. But God has gone on written record when it comes to this matter of eternal life. For instance, let's say, for instance, that you go into an electronics store like Best Buy, Circuit City. You buy you a $300 electronic item that you're going to give away for Christmas. It's $300. What do they always ask you when you go to pay for it? It's just a given now. They say to you, "Would you like to what?" Somebody said, "Charge it." Well, yeah. That they ask that too. Get out the old plastic, right? But they say, "Would you like to buy an extended warranty?" Oh, yeah, they nail you, see, when you go to pay for it. You think you're going to get out of the door for $300 plus tax. Wrong answer. If you want a warranty, then you got to pay. So you say, well, okay, how much is it? Well, we can give you a 5-year warranty. If anything goes wrong, parts and labor free, 5 years. How much? $50. Okay, all right, I'll take it. So you give them the money, you give them the money and all that, and he says, oh, okay, I'll see you. And you say, wait, well, hold on just a minute. But don't I get anything in writing for the warranty? And the guy looks at you and goes, don't you trust me? Well, you say, it kind of catches you off guard. You say, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, listen, I need something to be able to show in case I need to bring it back in. He says, I don't know why you just don't trust me. And you say, well, listen, what if I bring the thing in here and I need to get it fixed? How are they going to know I got the warranty? And he thinks for a minute. He says, I got it. Listen, when you come in, just look for me and I'll remember that you bought the 5-year warranty. All right, I never forget these things. I'll remember that you bought the 5-year warranty. Let me ask you something. Is that going to cut it? No. No, you're going to say to him, hey, buddy, I want something in writing. Well, listen, when it comes to the matter of eternal life, God has gone on record. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. It's God's gone on record. God has put it in writing. Look in your handout at Titus 1:2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, what did God do? He promised before the world began. God's gone on record about this thing. Go back to chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that God hath promised us. Okay, John, what's the promise? Here it is, even what? Man, God's gone on record. Look what Jesus said on the screen. John 10:28, I'll bring it up. And Jesus said, and I give unto them what, church? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let's go to John 11:26. He said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? God has gone on record. Look, either we believe that God can give life that will never end. That's what eternal means. Never ending. Perpetual. Either we believe that God can give that kind of life. Either we believe that God can give an eternal, perpetual, never ending life. Or we believe God's a liar. One or the other. Because God went on record and God promised it. Look back up at go back to chapter 5 and look up at verse 10. Chapter 5 verse 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a what? Liar. You're calling God a liar. See, but then it says, because he believeth not. Notice, we call God a liar when we don't believe the what? Record that God gave of His Son. You know, there's a lot of people that are just like that. There's many people that think this life is it. This is it. They think this is it. What you see is what you get. I mean, there's a lot of people that live their life this way. Their philosophy of life is, this is it. You know, live it up and then die. Live it up. Live it up, man. Hey, live it up. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Because this is it. This is it. Well, you know what? They are sadly mistaken. Either I have to believe them, or I have to believe the record of God. One or the other. Either they're wrong, or God's wrong. See? God says that this life that we're living is simply a preparation for eternity. The Bible teaches that you have an eternal soul and spirit that is going to live beyond this physical existence. And this life is preparation for eternity. What kind of preparing are you doing? Are you living for the here and now? Or are you living with eternity in view? Hey, listen, church. Is eternal life a reality according to the record of God? Yeah. It is. It's a reality. Perpetual, never-ending life. Look at number 2 in your handout. Eternal life is a gift. Now let's go back to our Bibles. Look at verse 11 again. Verse 11. And this is the record. God's gone on record. It's a reality that God hath, and here's the key word, what is it? Given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. Now, notice it did not say God has traded to us eternal life. He didn't barter it to us, okay? It didn't say God sold us eternal life. It didn't say this is the record that God has rewarded us with eternal life. It says God gave it. Now, we all understand there's a big difference between giving your kid $10 for going out and washing your car and giving them a Christmas gift on Christmas Day. We all understand there's a difference there. And in your handout, it says one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has going today is the concept that the concept of people trying to earn eternal life in heaven. That's one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has going. The idea that you somehow have to be good enough. Listen, I got to measure up. I got to meet this standard. I got to be better than Rob, or I've got to be better than you, and I've got to somehow be good enough to earn eternal life. One of the greatest deceptions Satan has, and there's a lot of people that feel that way, that they're trying to be good enough for God to let them into heaven one day. Well, what does the Bible say? Look with me in your handout. Look at your handout. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The Bible says, for by what?
Grace.
Now that word grace means unmerited favor. You can't earn grace. For by grace are you saved. And in context, by the way, in Ephesians 2, is talking about being saved from the penalty of your sins. How am I saved from the penalty of my sins? It says through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves. Notice this salvation from my sins. It is the what? Circle it. Yeah, circle that word there, gift. It is the gift of God. And then the very next phrase makes it clear that it's not of my what? Not of my works, lest any man should boast. Look at the next verse, Romans 6:23 in your handout. For the wages of sin, what I earn for my sin, what do I deserve?
Death.
I deserve death. That's not just talking about physically dying and going into the grave or being cremated. That's talking about an eternal death of your soul and spirit in a place called the lake of fire. Now that's what that's talking about. The wages, what, where our sin takes us, what we deserve for our sin is eternal death, separation from God forever. But look at the next part of the verse. It says, but the, notice there it is again, but the what?
Gift,
circle that word. The gift of God, here it is. What is the gift God wants to give you? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Look up the screen, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, my friend, salvation from our sins and eternal life in heaven is a gift that God wants to give you. You cannot earn a gift. You simply cannot do it. I mean, can you imagine on Christmas morning, you give a gift to your kids or your grandkids or a friend, and they open it up, and their eyes light up, and you say, do you like it? And they say, yeah. And then you look at them and go, then get out there and wash that car and wax it. Is that a gift? No, a gift can't be earned. A gift simply must be what? It's given, but I'm talking about how do you get it? You just receive it. That's right. A gift must simply be received. Now, how do you receive God's gift of eternal life? I mean, God's not going to swoop His hand down from heaven and hand you a certificate that says eternal life. So how do I go about receiving the gift of eternal life? How do you get it? How do you receive it? Number three in your handout, and that brings me to this one. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is a person. Now look at verse 12. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son, now it's very clear, he that hath the Son hath life. Okay? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look up at verse 11. and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. It's a reality. It's a gift. But now notice, and this life is in His Son. Now, question, I want you to think, look at that verse and read verse 11 again to yourself. Read verse 11. And then I want you to answer this question. According to the Bible, where is eternal life found? Where is it located? Write that in your handout. Eternal life is located in Christ, in His Son. That's where you find it. So, let me ask you another question. If I can somehow receive Christ, then what would I have received also? What's in Christ? Eternal life. So when I get Christ, what do I get? I get eternal life. Do you see that? I'll give you an illustration. Let's say that I want to give Rob Hall here, our youth director, $10. Okay? Now, I really don't, but let's just say I do. And I got this $10 and I put it in this pamphlet right here. Okay? Now, if I put it in the pamphlet, then when he receives the pamphlet, what does he also receive? He gets the $10. So give it back now. When he take what? Look at that, smart aleck. So when you couldn't see that. When he takes the pamphlet, he takes the gift of $10. That's right. He gets the gift of the $10. Now I want you to, just for the sake of illustration, the pamphlet, okay, pictures Jesus Christ. Now, what did the Bible just tell you is in His Son? The gift of eternal life. The $10 represents the gift of eternal life. The pamphlet represents Jesus. So when Rob takes Jesus, okay, the pamphlet, then what does he also take? He takes the gift of what? He gets the gift of eternal life. You see that? The way that you receive the gift of eternal life is by receiving the Son. And when you receive the Son, you get the gift of... That's what it means there in verse 12. Look at it. He that hath the Son, you've taken the Son. Well, then if you took the Son, what do you got? You got life. But he that hath not the Son of God, you've rejected Christ as your Savior. He says, then he that hath not the Son of God hath not what? You don't have life. In your handout it says, eternal life is Jesus. Eternal life is Jesus. That's pretty easy to understand. When I trust Jesus as my Savior, listen closely now, when I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, it's not this generic thing that, well, yeah, I believe Christ died for the sins of the world. No, no, no. It's He died for my sins. When I believe that Christ died for my sins, when I accept Christ as my Savior, I receive the gift of eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. Notice it did not say, he that belongs to the church has life. Is that what verse 12 said? Yes or no? No. It did not say, he that belongs to the church has life. It did not say, he that is baptized has life. Didn't say that. It did not say he that gives money to the church has life. He that keeps the religious rituals when the church tells you to keep them has life. Forget about churchianity. Forget about religiosity. I think I just made up two words. Forget about all this religious gimmickry that goes on today out there in the world, designed to keep people in bondage to this religious system that they can lord over you and try to be God in your life. Forget about all that. The important issue is this. Do you have Christ? Is He your Savior? Have you placed your total trust in Him? Have you received Him? Have you accepted Him as your only hope of eternal life? Have you opened up your heart to personally believe on Him as your Savior? There's no other way. There's no other way. Eternal life's a person. This passage will totally take care of the issue of well, what about Buddha, and what about Muhammad, and what about Confucius, and what about this prophet and that prophet? You know what? This settles it. That their eternal life is not in Buddha, it's not in Muhammad, it's not in Confucius, it's not in a man, it's not in a prophet. Eternal life is in His Son.
Amen.
It's in Christ. So you can't get eternal life unless you come through Christ and believe on Him, trust Him. Eternal life, number four, is a choice. Eternal life is a choice. Look at verse 13 now. Let's move down through the text and let's go to verse 13. Everybody see this now. These things have I written unto you. God went on record. He wrote it down. These things have I written unto you. Notice that what? That believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Listen, in your handout it says eternal life is a personal choice. You must choose to believe on Christ. Now, there are some people that I've met through the years, and they believe that their family ancestry makes them a Christian. And I've had people tell me, oh yeah, my mom and dad was a Christian, their parents were Christians, I was born a Christian. I've had people tell me that. Now, my dad was an insurance salesman. Okay? And he sold insurance to new car dealerships. The whole time I grew up, that's what he did. He traveled around and he sold insurance to new car dealerships. Now, question. My dad was an insurance salesman. So when I was born, does that make me an insurance salesman? No. Of course not. When I grew up, I had to make a choice. If I was going to be an insurance salesman, it would be because I made a choice to be an insurance salesman. But I didn't make a choice to be an insurance salesman. I made a choice to be a pastor, a preacher. See? Just because I was born of an insurance salesman didn't make me an insurance salesman. Listen, somebody may have a father that was a rapist and a killer. But let me ask, just because they were born of that rapist and killer father, does that make them a rapist and a killer? Of course not. So if it doesn't work for the negative, why do you think it's going to work over here for the positive? Why do you think that because mom and dad was a Christian, somehow magically that makes you a Christian? That doesn't make you a Christian any more than that makes me an insurance salesman or makes that guy over there a rapist and a killer because that's what their dad was. Listen, it's a personal choice, eternal life. There has to come a time when we individually realize that we are sinners, that we're lost, we're eternally doomed, we need a Savior, and we must personally choose to believe on Christ and to trust Him completely to save us. There's got to come a time when you make that personal choice of your will to either accept Christ and what He's done for you through His death on the cross, through His glorious resurrection, His completed, finished work. You've either got to choose to trust that or you've got to make a choice to trust something else. But God is not going to force the gift of eternal life on you. God is not going to force it on you. That wouldn't be gracious. It's not gracious to force a gift on somebody. In fact, to force a gift on somebody defies the very idea of a gift. Amen? The two don't go together. You don't force a gift on somebody. And God's not going to force the gift of eternal life on you. You must make that conscious choice to either accept Christ as your Savior or reject Him. Nobody can make that choice for you. You know, as much as I would like to be able to choose for my kids, wouldn't you love to be able to choose for your kids and grandkids? Man, I wish it was set up that way. And I wish somehow we could do that, but we can't. Eternal life is a choice. And the Bible says in verse 13, look at it again, "These things have I written unto you." Notice, they've made a choice of their will, "that believe on the name of the Son of God." And then notice the next part of that verse. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life." That ye may what?
Know.
I want you to get this last point in your handout. Eternal life is a confidence. He said that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I want you to write this down in your handout. God wants you to know. He wants you to know. And that's why He has written His Word, and that's why God's gone on record. Listen, something as important as where your eternal soul is going to spend eternity, God wants you to know that. He doesn't want you to doubt. He doesn't want you to wonder. He doesn't want you to say, well, maybe. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. Did you read it in the Bible? Did you see it? Am I making it up? Or does the Bible say that we may know? Am I making it up? No. The Bible, this is why we hand out Bibles on Sunday morning to those that don't have a Bible. I don't want you to think I'm making stuff up here. We just take the Bible, break it open, and okay, here's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what I say. I can make you a promise of eternal life, but be about like me promising you $1 million. Don't hold your breath. But you know what? We need to know what's God gone on record and said. What's God's Word say? And the Bible says that I can know that I have eternal life. Some people think that it's presumptuous to say that you know that you have eternal life. I've met people like that. I've witnessed to people about Christ, and I've said to them, do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? They'll say, well, you can't know that. And I'll say, well, I do know. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that I have eternal life. And they say to me, that is very presumptuous of you to say that. And it's not. Listen, to say that you know that you're going to heaven and that you know that you have eternal life, it's not presumptuous. Here's why. It's simply believing God's record and holding God to His Word. That's all it is. Let me go back to that illustration of the 5-year warranty, all right? And let's say 4 years into that warranty, that electronic device breaks down. And you go into the store where you bought it, and you say, yeah, I bought this 4 years ago, and I've brought this in, and I want to get it fixed. And the guy looks at you and says, huh, that's pretty presumptuous of you. You bought this thing 4 years ago. I mean, that's gall to think that you can come in here, expect us to fix that thing after you've been using it for 4 years. That's presumptuous. And what do? Sir, 5 years, 4 years ago when I bought this, you gave me something in writing saying that if anything happens to this thing, that up to 5 years, no cost for parts or labor, that you would fix it free of charge. There it is in writing. Right? It's not presumptuous for you to ask them to fix it. Why? Because you have something in writing that you're standing on. And you say, hey, I'm just standing on what you wrote. Is that presumptuous? Yes or no? Of course not. And you know what? It's not presumptuous to say, you know what? I know that I have eternal life. That's not presumptuous, because all you're doing is you're saying, hey, here's what God said. God went on record, and I'm just simply standing on what God has said. I think it's presumptuous to say that it's impossible to know for sure that you have eternal life. And people believe that. There's people who believe that it's impossible to know that you're going to go to heaven for sure. It's impossible to know that you really have eternal life as a present possession. There's people who believe that's presumptuous. I believe it's presumptuous to say that you can't know for sure. Because really, basically, what you're saying is, you're saying you don't believe God's Word. And in essence, what you're saying is, you're calling God a liar. When you say, nobody can know for sure they're going to heaven, then what you're saying is, that don't mean anything. I know God went on record. Yeah, I know God said that there's eternal life and that it's a gift and that you can know it. I know it, but I don't believe that. You call God a liar, in essence. I want you to look with me at the screen and watch something very carefully here. You ready? This is right near the end of the Apostle Paul's life. And he writes this, and he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's go to the next one, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and he said, to die is what?
It's
gain. Look at the next one. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two." He's talking about living and dying. He said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," in other words, if this body is dissolved, if it dies, he said, "we know that we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The verses we just read, does Paul sound like a man who's keeping his fingers crossed hoping he's going to get there? No, he does not sound like a man who's got his fingers crossed hoping that he's going to get to heaven. He sounds like a man who knows it. Amen. How about you today? Do you know, friend, do you know that you have eternal life? And I realize some of the things I've said this morning may go completely against what you've been taught. And I know that religion tells you just the opposite of everything you've heard. Religion tells you that you've got to work for eternal life. You've got to do what the church tells you to do. You have to keep the list. You've got to perform the rituals. You have to give this and do that. And I know what religion says. I've been in it. I know. Religion says you've got to perform if you want to expect eternal life. And even if you perform, all you can do is hope you're going to make it. You can't know for sure. And I know that's what religion says. And I know, friend, that what I've said this morning probably goes against some of the stuff that religion has taught you. But let me ask you something. Did we read it in black and white? Yeah. We read it in black and white. We read it in the Bible. This is God's Word. Now listen. Do you know that you have eternal life? You can know. You can know. You can get that question settled today. Why did Christ come into the world? I mean, did He come into the world, live a sinless life, die on the cross and make a full payment for sins, rise from the dead? Did He do all that to no avail, just so you could continue to go through life with no peace, no assurance, no real confidence that you know you're going to heaven? No, He went through all that so that you could know that you have eternal. So you can know that you have your sins forgiven and you have eternal life as a present possession right now. Amen. He went through all that for you. And in your handout, it says that Christ came into this world that you might know that you have eternal life. Let's put our hand out in our Bible. Let's close our Bibles up. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Let's all just kind of go to the Lord in prayer. And